with Radio On The Go News, Brian Fancher reporting. A heat advisory is in effect for Wright, Franklin, Butler, Hardin, and Grundy counties in the broadcast area from noon until 9 p.m. today. Expect heat index readings from 105 to 110 degrees. A combination of hot temperatures and high humidity may cause heat illnesses to occur. As we survive the steamy hot summer, some Iowans may find solace in pondering the cooler weather of the inevitable change in seasons, but the new edition of the Farmer's Almanac predicts anything but a mild winter ahead. Editor Peter Geiger says the winter forecast map carries just five words floating over Iowa and the Midwest: hibernation zone, glacial, snow-filled. And Geiger says the publication is calling for an exceptionally snowy and extremely cold winter for 2022-23.
When we look at the predictions, we talk about some snow in late October, but then we talk about it being heavy snow on Thanksgiving. We talk about significant snow after that. We talk about heavy snow the 4th and 7th of December. It's going to be one of those unrelenting kind of winters where you dream about how nice it is when it's hot in the summer.
Well, parts of Iowa have seen triple-digit heat indices multiple times this summer. Geiger says the winter before us will prove to be equally extreme.
What really scares me about the winter is the cold. So we talk about this sharp cold, maybe as low as minus 40. I don't think it's going to be minus 40 in Iowa, but within the region, you're going to see some really cold temperatures almost from the middle of January through the early part of February, and then some snow and even in March.
The new edition of the Almanac is due on store shelves August 15th, and he says it will include tips for coping with the predicted high cost to heat our homes during the frigid months.
For example, you can use bubble wrap. If you spray a window with water and then put bubble wrap on it, it insulates the window for the winter. I mean, it's very simple, very inexpensive, but it's very possible.
Founded in 1818, the Lewiston, Maine-based Almanac boasts a forecast accuracy rate of 75% to 85%, which Geiger says is derived from a formula developed more than two centuries ago.
It's based upon sunspot activity, planet positions, the effect the moon has on the Earth, and we actually have a page in this year's Almanac that talks a little bit about how we go about doing it. And we say it's going to be minus 40 degrees. I think it's an indication of how potentially cold it could be, as opposed to the fact that it's going to be, you can count on minus 40.
In addition to weather predictions, the Farmer's Almanac contains all sorts of information on gardening, cooking, home remedies, folklore, managing your household, living in harmony with nature, and more. The deal recently reached by Democrats in the U.S. Senate would provide $20 billion for climate-friendly agricultural practices. Agriculture is a major contributor to climate change, and experts say there's plenty of opportunity to reduce the sector's emissions. If the measures in the bill are enacted, most of the money will go through existing USDA programs that already help farmers implement environmentally friendly practices. The bill also funds research and efforts to improve cattle feed to reduce the amount of methane they produce. Cows are a major source of climate warming methane. Yesterday, the Iowa Ag Secretary Mike Naig announced the funding of the next phase of a collaborative water quality and soil conservation project that seeks to increase the utilization of cover crops on seed corn production acres. Partnering with the Iowa Seed Association and their members, as well as farmers and landowners, the state ag department will provide the next phase of funding to expand the planting of cover crops. Cover crop usage is a proven conservation practice highlighted in the Iowa Nutrient Reduction Strategy that is designed to help conserve soil and protect water quality. The next three-year phase of the project, funded at $226,750, will also incorporate edge-of-field practice outreach and installations within the statewide network of seed corn producers. More than 30,000 acres are enrolled in the program this year, and an estimated one-third of acres utilized for seed corn production in Iowa are now utilizing cover crops. Starting now, Summit Carbon Solutions is providing state regulators with lists of landowners along its proposed pipeline who have not agreed to voluntary easements. Justin Kirchhoff, who's president of Summit Ag Investors, says hundreds of people have signed contracts to let the carbon pipeline run through their property.
We've got about 750 landowners that have decided to sign voluntary easements with us today. So that's about 270 miles of pipeline easement.
Summit submitted an application to the Iowa Utilities Board for a pipeline permit earlier this year. State regulations require disclosure of which parcels along the route are not yet secured voluntarily.
That process will take about a month. And then obviously as we move forward and continue to sign voluntary easements, which remains 100% of our focus today, some of those names will come off the list.
Kirchhoff says people understandably have questions about carbon capture and the pipeline itself.
I think a lot of people have scar tissue, if you will, in terms of Dakota Access. We're going to do things a lot different. First and foremost, over 60% of this pipe is going to be 8 inches or smaller, and you compare that with Dakota Access, which is 30 inches, just the whole process of installation is going to be a lot less invasive.
The Dakota Access Pipeline, which cuts diagonally through Iowa, was first proposed nearly a decade ago. In 2017, it began shipping crude oil from North Dakota to a terminal in Illinois. Kirchhoff says Summit has obtained voluntary easements from about a third of landowners in five states. The pipeline's Iowa segment is to connect with a dozen ethanol plants in the state to lower the carbon footprint of the fuel that's produced.
We're getting closer to fall here. Every other row of corn that's harvested is going to wind up going to an ethanol plant. We think it's an incredibly important market. And if we want to be competitive long term, we think that it certainly makes sense that we implement projects like this that make ethanol plants in the near term more profitable and in the long term, you know, more competitive in various markets.
Several county boards of supervisors have urged state officials to reject eminent domain requests connected to carbon pipelines. The eminent domain process would let the company seize land from property owners who have not signed voluntary easements. This week, the Wright County Board of Supervisors held a public hearing regarding a construction permit application for a confinement feeding operation for Iowa Select Farms along Washington Avenue, northwest of Dowse. Wright County Auditor Betty Ellis read the names of individuals that opposed the permit. Some voiced concerns about odor from the confinement and road safety and gravel conditions. There were also concerns about the effect on the Iowa River. Since Washington Avenue is located near the river, the board then stated the permit met the master matrix and approved the construction permit as presented. The AGWSR school board Monday will consider milk and bread bids, will consider a 28E sharing agreement for the media center, and will review a tuck pointing proposal. The AGWSR school board meets Monday at 7 p.m. at the Ackley Center LMC. The high in the past 24 hours here at our studios, 87, and the low of 58. For Radio On the Go News, Brian Fincher reporting.